Hear me say 1,000 times that I just love to worship. I just love being in the presence of God. I just love it. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. And there's nothing like speaking this morning in front of you, I tell you. Last few weeks, we started a series of messages on the theme of my verse. And I tell you, when Pastor Tim asked me to speak this morning, I said, speak on my verse. Pastor, I have like 100 verses that's close to my heart that I've accumulated over the past 38 plus years. I know I'm dating myself. But there's one verse that I really hung on to and carried me through all of my Christianity. And we're going to share, or I'm going to share this morning, on a topic entitled, God Cares About the Desires of Our Hearts. He cares about those desires. Back in the late 70s, there were 4 teenage guys, 4 high school guys, and they would hang out together while in high school. And one of them was labeled as the swear bird. Do you know why he was labeled the swear bird? Because every second word that came out of his mouth was profane language. The second one was sort of a nerd, so they called him the brains of the group. The third one was more on the religious side, so they called him the Holy One. And the last one, well, let me put it this way, he was popular among the girls. So we had these 4 guys, different personality, different traits, totally different interests. So at lunchtime, they would hang out together, but over the period of a certain time, they realized or they recognized that one of the guys would leave the group and go somewhere on school campus. So the 3 guys, the other 3 guys, were very, very curious. So they said, you know what? I'm going to follow. We're going to follow this friend. And they followed him, and they saw him in a classroom with other high school students. Are my high school students here? Are they here? Yes, some of you are. So they saw him in this class. And it was a Christian gathering at that time. And the teacher was teaching or speaking on a familiar verse that we probably all know today from Sunday school or have seen it on billboards. And that scripture is John 3:16. And you don't have to turn to it because I know you know it by heart. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." One verse, one message, one truth that changed the lives of 3 guys. And I'm proud to tell the story this morning, because this is my story. This is my story. That was the day that God started to write my story, that God put a song in my heart from that day. And that day, that song in my heart have stayed with me for the past few years. But there's one thing that I learned from that teaching, other than being accepting salvation, there was one miraculous truth that was uncovered that day. I not only had to receive salvation, but before I received that salvation, there was a condition to be met. And those of us who have experienced that love and that joy with God, You know what? We've met that condition, and probably you didn't even recognize it. The condition was I had to confess that I was a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. But he not only died, but he rose again to give me everlasting life. The truth that there is a condition, but for the result, the condition has to be met. Now, I know you're probably asking yourself, well, Les, which one of those guys were you? I knew. I you know, I'm watching and I see. I know. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I know. You got to stay to the end of the service, all right? And remind me at the end of the service so I can tell you which one of those guys I was. So I took that truth, planted it in my heart, and that shaped me to the person I am today. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, again, I have a lot, but this is my favorite verse in the Bible. It's Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. And it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Now, this scripture doesn't give us a blanket promise to get everything and anything we want from God. I'm sorry to burst your bubble this morning. You're probably saying, Les, I came here to be uplifted, to get encouraged, but you're telling me that I can't get everything and anything I want from God? Well, what did the scripture say? It says, delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, most people would read the second part of that verse, and he will give you the desire of my heart. So then, oh, here comes a blank check for me just to write that number on that check, and God is going to sign it. I'm sorry, but I got to tell you what the word says, and this is the truth that I learned, and I've applied it, and I want to tell you today, it works. God rewards delighting yourself in him. He's willing and able to bless you with greater relationship, greater joy, and greater peace. In the book of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7, we probably know it very well, talks about the Beatitudes. But in chapter 6, he made reference to prayer, like how to pray. He made reference to giving to the needy and being blessed once the giving is given by the right motive. He made reference to the basic needs of life, which is food, clothing, shelter. He made reference to the birds of the air, where he says God takes care of them. But I like what he says in Matthew 6:33, which has the same truth, the same uncovered truth as John 3:16 or Psalm 37, verse 4. And this is what it says. But seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. All these things. You know, he said, you can have all these things that I spoke about prior, but there's a condition to be met. Seek me, pursue me, go after me, show me that you love me, that you trust me, and I am going to bless you with these things. Earlier this year, I told my kids, so I got two girls, 17 and 13, right? Teenagers, right? So I told them, I said, listen, finish the year strong in school. Finish it strong. And I'll give you not one vacation, but I'll give you two vacations. Great dad, eh? Isn't that wonderful? I'll give you two vacations. But there's a condition to be met. Finish strong, and we'll go on two vacations. So what happened? Mom got in there. Come on, guys, let's go, let's go, let's go. They finished strong. So Dad had to pay up, right? Put a dent in the bank account. But their father made them a promise. You do this, and you'll get this. It's the same basic principle. And I tell you, when I learned this truth, I remember I was in Bible school, and our hermeneutics teacher, which is the art and science of interpreting the scripture, he mentioned, or he taught about the same principle, about having a condition, and once that condition is met, getting the results. And it carries through major scriptures throughout the Bible today. And I wish time would permit me to go through a lot of those. But we need to delight ourselves in him if we want to see him work miraculously. And that's the important word. Work miraculously in our lives. Listen, food, clothing, shelter, that's great. That's awesome. God will supply our needs again once we remain truthful and trust in him. But there's greater things that he wants to do in our lives. There's greater things that he wants to bless us with. You know, I remember hearing one preacher mention this. And I don't know if I agree with everything, but this is what he says. And I wouldn't mention his name. But he says, when he gets to heaven, he thinks he'll be disappointed. So I'm thinking, man, I get to heaven and be disappointed? No way. Get into heaven? I'll be doing jumps of joy. But he said he'd probably be disappointed because God is going to take him around. Jesus is going to take him around in heaven. And then he's going to show him different things. All things, great things, great things. And then he's going to ask the question, wow, I wish I had those things when I was down on earth. And God is going to say, you could have, but you didn't ask me. You didn't ask me. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. I paid the price for you. I shed the blood on the cross for you. I care for you. I care for your desires. I care about it. David, when he was in the wilderness in Judah, going through what you call a wilderness experience, he said this in the book of Psalm 63. I'm just going to read it for you. And this is the thoughts that we should have, you know, when we're going through the wilderness experience in our lives. He said, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So will I bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David is delighting himself in God in the wilderness, and sometimes we need to do that. Verse 5 of our key text says, we are to commit our ways to him, and he will bless us. He will bring it to pass. You know, when we're in that wilderness experience, we need to apply that formula. And here's the formula. We are to commit our ways to God. We are to commit our ways to Him. We have to trust Him. And here's the difficult part that we find ourselves. We got to wait on Him. We had to wait on Him. Now, I was a very impatient person. And you may say, Les, you? Impatient? I was a very impatient person. Don't ask my wife, please. Very impatient. But I learned to wait on God. I learned that God has His own timetable, which is very different from mine. Extremely different from mine. You know, the prophet Jeremiah and the people of Judah, they were going through a horrid experience. The city was being destroyed, if you remember, by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And they stood there watching their city crumble before them. But God showed up, and God told them in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. Give you hope and a future. You know, last week when Joe spoke, he alluded to the fact that we need to stretch our faith to accomplish great things. But you know, in doing that, sometimes you may hear voices. And those voices come in different forms and shape. Could be your family, could be friends, could be that person who's been a BFF for a long time. I know those acronyms, BFF, LOL. I know those. But you know, part of me, when I was growing up, I learned that when I hear those voices, and I have my heart set on my desire, and I know that God not only wants to meet the desires of my heart, but He wants to shape those desires for His perfect plan and purpose for my life. I know, and He wants to do it if I delight myself. When I hear those voices, I remind myself and I remind those voices of a few things. And here are some things that I remind those voices. When they come up against me, I say, I am a partaker of His divine nature. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loves me. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am greatly loved by God. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. I am a new creature in Christ. I am part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. I have the greater one living in me. For greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And I like this last one, and I use it all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. What am I saying this morning? You have desires. We all have desires. Desires of our heart. God cares about those desires, and He wants to shape them. So don't let the enemy or anyone rob you of getting your heart's desire. I'll give you a true story. In my younger years, and I mean younger years, I had some friends at church. And they said, Les, there's this attractive girl who goes to another church, not too far from our church. They said, but you know what? There's one problem. She's already seen someone. She's already seen someone. So just to let you know, right? Even if she dumps that guy, there are other guys who would probably want to date her. But just to let you know, she's attractive. So what did Les do? Curious Les. Sunday evening, our church didn't have services. So I said, you know what? I'm going to check out this girl. I want to see this girl, right? God told me, listen, I'm already armed. I am already armed with Psalm 37, verse 4, under my arm. God, you said that you care for me, you care about my desire. Well, listen, this is my desire. I'm going to see that girl. And if I like her, I want to date her. So I went. And they were right. She was an attractive girl. I tell you, Joan, you look in those eyes. Oh, she had beautiful eyes. Silky black hair. But the guys keep telling me, probably don't stand a chance. Long story short, I married that girl. Don't tell me nothing is too difficult for God. Don't tell me that my God is dead. Don't tell me that he doesn't hear my prayer. Don't tell me that he doesn't care about my desire. That was one of my desires. Thank God it fell in his perfect plan and his purpose for my life. This year we celebrated 26 years of a wonderful marriage. Amen. You better take that down or I'll stare at it all day. God cares for the desires of your heart. You know, you may be thinking that your dream cannot come through. That desire is so big. It's too big for God. But I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Listen, we can't fathom how big our God is. We can't. But you know what we can also not fathom? It's his love for us. He loves us so dearly. And I tell you, if your desire aligns with his plan and purpose, just so I had to give my kids 2 vacations, and my wife, she went along for the ride, 2 vacations because they met the condition. God is true to his word. And the scripture says, that his word will not return to him void, but he will accomplish everything that he said. But we might say, you know, there is a delay in getting my dream. There's a delay in getting the desires of my heart. But you know what I realize? That I can't see around a corner. Can you? I can't see around the bend. Can you? But God sees. God sees the end. God sees what we cannot see. And I enjoyed Pastor Tim's message a few weeks ago when he spoke about the temporary things are the things that we can see, but the eternal things are the things that we cannot see. I encourage you to go on our website and listen to that message. I love how Joyce Myers, famous evangelist, female evangelist, teacher, preacher. I like how she puts it. And let me quote her so I don't misquote her. She says, you do what you can do, and let God do what you cannot do. I'm going to repeat it. Might want to write it down. Put it in your little phone. You do what you can do, and let God do what you cannot do. Listen, if Joseph was not sold, he would not have become ruler. If Moses wasn't put in the river, he would not have become the deliverer. If Jesus did not go to the cross and die for our sins, we would not enjoy the gift of salvation today. God sees the end of it all, the end of it. I mentioned that God works on his own timetable. You see, we have to stop trying to make those desires and dream come through on our own. But we have to realize that we need the supernatural power of God to help us through this. But remember that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, back in October of 2003, I think it was, a young girl's life, or should I say a young girl's dream, was crushed, and we all probably know the story. At the age of 13, on her way to become nationally female surfer in Hawaii. At the age of 13, while surfing, her left arm was ripped away by a 14-foot tiger shark. I can't imagine what went through that 13-year-old. My daughter, my youngest is 13. But she was brought up in a Christian home. And she had the teachings of God's love and God's protection on her life. But you can imagine what went through her mind. God, you said that you will be with me all the days of my life. You're blessing me. You're causing me to excel. You're giving me the desires of my heart, and now I've lost my arm, and I can't surf anymore. But she didn't stay down. She was determined to keep her eyes on the prize. She was determined to get the desire of her heart met. And every day she would train and train hard, get back on that surfboard. And I love one of her favorite scripture verse, and I quoted earlier on, Philippians 4:13. This is one of her favorite scripture verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In an interview with a reporter, she was asked, the reporter asked her, do you think you're going to surf again? She looked at the reporter, and I love the words that came out of her mouth. She said, think? I know that I'm going to surf again. Because she knew the God that she served is able. She knew that she served a God that was bigger than this horrid experience that she's been going through. And she was not going to allow this to hold her back. Long story short, she appeared on many national television shows, has been an inspiration to millions and millions of lives around the globe, and became one of the best female surfers, won a lot of competitions. And you ask her today if she would trade anything for what happened, and she says no. Because her testimony was able to encourage millions, millions of lives all across the globe. You know, there's a song that keeps me going every day, especially when I'm discouraged. And that song talks about focusing on God, putting your trust in Him. And that's what we're talking about this morning. It's getting our heart's desire. But sometimes in getting our heart's desire, we have to go through some wilderness experience. We have to do some weeding out. But here's the important thing to remember, that we got to commit our ways to Him. We got to trust Him. And we got to wait on Him. And I want you to listen to this song. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. I have experts for that, all right? I have experts for that. But we're gonna play this song. And I want you to focus on the lyrics, not so much on the tune, but I want you to focus on the lyrics of this song and let it speak to you this morning. And if there's a dream that you're dreaming about, if there's a prize that you have your eyes on, let this song be an encouragement to you. Let me know when we have it ready.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. His promises are true. In His strength, there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same
same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us today. I'll ask the worship team to come up. And I want you, if there's one thing that you remember from this entire 35 minutes of sermon, it's one thing I want you to remember, that God cares about the desires of your heart. But there's a condition. First, we've got to commit our ways to Him. We've got to learn to trust Him. But we got to learn to wait on Him. And remember, He has a different timetable, folks, than us. But he sees the end of it all. We cannot see that. Amen? So we're going to stand. And Joe, can we sing that last song that we sang just before? Yeah. And let's all stand, please. And as we worship, I want you to focus. Focus on that dream. Focus on that desire that you're longing for. And again, if you're in a wilderness experience today, let the joy of the Lord fill you this morning. Let him make him Jesus. Make him Lord of your life this morning. Let him be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob this morning. Let's worship.